You know, one of my shows that I like to watch, it's called Overhauling. Have y'all ever seen that show called Overhauling? And they take these old cars that are torn up and destroyed, and they do it for deserving people. It's usually veterans that have been injured or people with cancer or different things, but this team will go and they play a trick on the person and they'll make them think their car was stolen or something, but they get their car and they take it and they strip it down to nothing and completely redo it to where it's like brand new and even better than brand new, because they'll put modern things in these old cars, and usually everybody ends up crying, and you know, in these big old burly guys with their tattooed up arms, and they look like, you know, they just could break in two with their fingers, you know, and they'll be teared up crying and everything, and it's really I like the show, but they take something that was destroyed and almost useless and turn it into something brand new, and it just makes me think of what God can do with us when we feel destroyed sometimes, when we feel useless, but God can restore, God can fix things that were broken, things that we didn't think could be fixed, but God can restore it into something amazing. We've been talking about marriage and you know, sometimes after we leave here, I beat myself up with what I say, and I should have said something different, or I shouldn't have said this, or I should have said that, and so as we pray here in just a minute, I pray that God would truly speak to each one of you tonight. If you're married, you're in a bad marriage, God can overhaul your bad marriage and turn it into something beautiful. He can restore something that's broken. If you're in a good marriage, God can make it even better. If you're not married and you're single, you look at this message tonight as being your relationship with your Father in heaven, that He should be the priority of your life. It's the same true for married people, but it's a gift. Paul talks about being single also, but God should be our number one priority. And so let's pray. Father, I pray as we open up your word now that Lord, you would be the one speaking to each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that in the relationships in this room, in the marriages and families, Lord, that if there's been anything destroyed, if there's been anything broken, Father, that we would begin to follow your plan, and we would watch and see how you can restore that which was broken, that which was lost. I pray for a special anointing tonight, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. In Exodus 20, verse 3, it says, "You shall have no other God before me." Number one, we want our lives to be right. We don't need another God before our God, Father. You know, many times we say God comes first in our life, but does He? You know, priority, what you make a priority is what really has your heart. What you spend your time with is what really has your heart. Matthew 4:10, Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." See, Satan was tempting Jesus. And Satan is doing the same thing with us today. And how many of us have fallen for the trap of the world, of worldly pleasures of things, when maybe tonight we just need to stop and say, "Away from me, Satan, because I'm going to worship the Lord my God and serve Him only." and we quit serving all these things. We quit serving all these things that feed our flesh, that feed our pride. Luke 14:26 says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." And you say, wait a minute, Pete, I thought that this was supposed to be about having priorities in your marriage, and then you're saying hate your wife? Well, I want you to understand there that word hate means love less, okay? It doesn't mean hate. It means to love less. And if we don't get that right in our life is never going to be right. If we put our children above our spouse, if we put our children above God, if we put our spouses above God, if we put those needs and those desires, if God is not first, He says, you cannot be my disciple. And so when it says hate there, it says it, what it is really saying is if you don't love less, God has to be number one in our life. I talked about it. I don't remember. I've talked about it several times. I always talk about it in marriage counseling. But triangle. God's in the middle. Husband on one side, wife on the other. And what happens? The closer you go up the ladder, the closer you get to God, you naturally draw closer together to one another. Is that not true? If God is the center, you can't be the wife that you're supposed to be. You can't be the husband that you're supposed to be until God comes first. And when you're drawing closer unto God, you're going to become a better spouse. You're going to become a better husband. You're going to become a better wife. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you want to open, we're going to read about 6-7 verses there. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. "Now, for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry. But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duties to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this, excuse me. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all men were as I am, but each man has his own gifts from God. One has this gift, another has that." So, when you look at this, y'all, in marriage, is dying to self and is giving of yourself. You know, a lot of times when you're young and you're starting out, and me and Crystal, I still tease her about this sometimes, you know, because I remember before we got married and we were all, "Well, I can't wait to be married, and it wouldn't be great if you know, you didn't have to go home, or I didn't have to go home, and you know, and you all you're looking at is the rainbow in the picture of how wonderful this marriage bliss is going to be, you know. But then reality sets in after a while, and you come to realize that you have to give of yourself, that you no longer belong to yourself. Whereas you're dating, you know, and you want to run off and go hang out with the guys, or you want to go fishing or hunting, or you want to do this or you want to do that, then you just go and do it. But once you're married, if you live like that, you're not going to have a very successful marriage, Because now your spouse's needs need to be first. It's no longer what I want to do, but it's what, you know, should I be doing? How can I be doing this? Me and Crystal first got married, I told you all this, I think, before, too. This old couple that we bought our house from, they were in their 70s, and Crystal was going to college and working at a daycare, and I was working at UPS and data forms, and we both were busy all the time, and the husband and wife that we were buying that little house from was like, boy, that might be tough, you know, because you're never going to see each other. And then they said, but that might be a good thing too, because you're not always together. You won't get sick and tired of each other, you know. But y'all, and once you become united in marriage, you truly no longer belong to yourself. And so, whereas before all I had to worry about was me, now I have to worry about my wife. Am I being a good provider? Am I taking care of her needs? Am I providing for my home? And then your kids come, and there's more and more and more. And I think what's happened today in so many marriages and so many homes, and I think why so many don't get married today, is because we've grown up in such a society now where life centers around us. And in a lot of ways, we've become so selfish and self-absorbed that we can't stand the thought of giving ourselves to someone else and putting their needs above our own. But that's how it has to be to have a successful marriage, is to give unto yourself, even when you don't want to. Even when it doesn't feel pleasant. Even when it doesn't seem like you should. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 verse 22. Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." You know, Tim's talked about it a lot. We've discussed these verses before. This is not popular verses in today's culture, in today's society. But this is what the Word of God says, and this is what the Word of God says, that if you want a healthy, God-centered marriage, that this is how it should be, that the husband is the head of the wife. I always go back, I don't remember how many years ago it was, it must have been several years ago, because it was when I was still able to sit in Tim's Wednesday night class, but I always loved his illustration that God, man, woman, children. But what's everybody doing? Children want to be above mom. Mom wants to be above dad. Dad wants to be above God. That nobody wants to fall in line. We all have an authority in our life. We all should be submitting, right? But in our culture and in our self, we don't like to submit. We want to be over and over and over what's above us. Even at work, if our boss tells us, you do it this way, do you like it? I don't know about y'all, but I don't like it when my boss says, you do it this way. But I have to learn to submit because he is my boss. And whether I like it or not, when he says to do it, I'm to do it. You want a godly marriage? A wife needs to learn to submit to her husband. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word." Husbands, do you really love your wife? And you go back to what our topic is tonight, priority. Is your wife a priority in your life? I mean, really, is she a priority in your life? Not just someone that cooks your dinners and does your laundries, not just someone that you pay attention to if you want something. But is she truly a priority in your life? That's what the Bible is commanding the husbands, to love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Are we willing to lay down our lives, our desires, our wants for our wives? You know, my kids are not married. They're not engaged. And I pray often over who God will put in their life. You know? Because I think I want my daughter to be loved with a godly love like this. I know you guys feel the same. You want that for your children. You desire that. You know, and for my son to know to love his wife the way that he's supposed to, for my daughter to have a husband that loves her the way that he's supposed to. And you look around at our world and our culture and our society, and it's scary. It's scary that you see the way that homes are wrecked daily because of the attacks of the enemy. And so many people look at this Bible, they look at these words as just, I'll pick out the good parts that I like. But really to base my life upon it, to really live this out, I'm going to tell you something. You want a successful life, you base your life on this word right here. And that's in every area, including your marriage. It might not be popular right now for a wife to submit to her husband. It might not be popular for a husband to love his wife more than anything else in this world, and more than their bass boat, more than their hunting trips, more than their activities, whatever they are, hanging out at the bars with their buddies or whatever. Verse 27, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect the husband. Now, if we were doing one-on-one marriage counseling right now, we'd get into leaving your mother and father. That's a hard issue in some marriages. Mom and dad still want to control their son, still want to control their daughter. Conflict. Wife doesn't like mother-in-law. Wife doesn't like father-in-law. Son, man doesn't like mother-in-law. Man doesn't like father-in-law. The wife gets mad at the husband, runs home to mom and dad. The husband gets mad at the wife, runs home to mom and dad. Uh-uh. That's not how it should be. And parents, that's us, we need to butt out too. When our kids get married someday. And if we are still running to mom and dad, we need to stop. You don't need to go to mom and complain. You know what she did? She burnt my eggs. She don't cook them like you did, mama. You know, you guys are laughing, but you want to destroy a marriage? You keep running home to mama and daddy and watch and see how quick it'll mess up your marriage. You will leave your father and mother, and the two will become one flesh. That's you two now. And it's a hard thing as a parent. Now that I'm almost grown, looking back and looking at my kids and thinking someday that I got to let them go. You know, we can still be there to love and guide them, but you got to stay out of it. Because the two will become one flesh. And if we're always bailing them out, how's that ever going to happen? Colossians 3:18-19 says, "Wives, submit to your husband as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wife and do not be harsh with them." All this is, wives, do you submit to your husband in a way that they feel like they are a priority in your life? Do you submit to your husband in a way that you honor them with your body, with your actions, with the life that you live? Men, do you love your wives in a way that they feel like they are a priority in your life? Does your, not just the words you speak, but your life show that? See, all of us can talk a good talk, but does our lives demonstrate that our spouses are a true priority? Titus 2:3-5 says, "Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God." You know, when I read this and I think, do you live a life close enough to God, women, that someone could say, "Hey, go watch their life. Go see how they treat their husband. Go see how they mother their children. Go watch and learn from that person." Because whether we know it or not, we're teaching all the time. Our kids are watching our lives. They see how we interact. They see how we are with one another. We might put on a good act here at church, but our kids are seeing if Dad really loves Mom. They see if Mom is really submitting to Dad, who really is the authority in the home. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Y'all, this is the Word of God, okay? And I think they're trying to get a point across to us. "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the Word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence in your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy woman of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear." You think about that. Do not give way to fear. Because what could happen? Oh, but if I give my husband everything he wants, if I give in and I'm living my life for him, what if he rejects me? What if this, what if that? And how quickly fear can seep in and say, "Well, I don't want to do this." Y'all, we look at beauty in such a messed up way in our culture and our society now. It's It's the suntans and the hair done up and the makeup and the gold and the flashiness and all that is what America says is beautiful now. But we as children of God need to go back at what true beauty is, and it's this woman that is submissive to her husband, that wins him over by her behavior. Would you be a wife like that? That you're living such a pure life that even if he's not a believer, he would see God in you? Would your children see God in your life? In the way that you live? I'm telling y'all, I didn't have that close a relationship with one set of grandparents. I've told y'all that before. But I remember being a kid and staying the night there and getting up in the morning and going in and seeing them in the living room praying on their knees. And they did that every morning. And they prayed for me. And they prayed for my cousins and my brother. And a few years ago, before my grandpa passed away, I was up in Michigan. And he asked me to go to a prayer breakfast with him, and me and my dad had got in, I don't know, it was midnight or something, Friday night, and the prayer breakfast was like 6 o'clock Saturday morning, and we were leaving to drive back to Arkansas Sunday, so we were there for we drove up for my cousin's wedding and was coming right back, and I really didn't want to go to that prayer breakfast, but I went. And I'm so thankful I did, because my grandpa died not long after that. That was the last time that we spent any time together. But I remember him crying, and I never saw this man cry. He had said that he was talking about me and my cousins, and my cousins aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. but none of us have been to jail. None of us are on drugs. And almost all of them are living for the Lord. There's a couple that's... And he said, you know, we lifted you guys up continually in prayer. And y'all, I really, really believe that those prayers had an impact on my life. Even though I wasn't that close with them, even though they weren't the favorite grandparents to go see, they had an impact on my life by the prayers that they prayed over me and my cousins. And my grandpa had shared with me that morning about how many of his friends that he goes to church with and their kids and grandkids were strung out on drugs and on their fourth, fifth, sixth marriage, and grandparents raising grandkids and great-grandkids because mama's in rehab. And he said, I'm so thankful for my family. Y'all, we want to make an impact in our homes. We want to make an impact in our marriage. We need to make that a priority in our prayer life. Praying for one another. Praying for our spouses, praying for our children, praying for our grandchildren, praying for our great-grandchildren and generations to come. Do we say we love, but how do we love? Is it really a priority? How do you show love to your family? How do you show love to your spouse? How do you make them a priority? I'm not going to call on anybody, and I'm not going to say how I do. But I want you to think, is your family, is your husband, is your wife truly a priority in your life? When Sarah died, Abraham wanted to buy this cave in Ephraim. Ephraim the Hittite told Abraham he would give it to him. But you know what? Abraham said, no, I want to pay full price. Why did he want to pay full price for this burial site for his wife? Because he valued Sarah too much. he valued her so much that he's like, you're not going to give it to me. I'm going to pay, and I'm not even going to accept a discount. I'm going to pay full price. Your spouse needs to know how much you value them, that they're a priority in your life, that you're willing to pay full price, so to speak. Full price in your studying the Word of God. Full price in your prayer life. Full price in leading your home, whether you're the husband leading your family or the wife leading her children. Are we truly willing to pay full price and make them the priority? You know, our wives, our husbands, they need to be more of a priority than our kids. I see so often in homes they get messed up because all at once the kids come first. The kids become the center of everything. The kids become the center of the universe. And the kids are, how can I say this respectfully? Y'all, I don't like being recorded sometimes. Mom and Dad, you need to be sleeping in the same bed. Okay? It's important. I've honestly witnessed marriages that get derailed because the kids sleep in the bed to the point that Dad sleeps on the couch. To the point that Mom and Dad don't share the same room anymore because two or three kids are in bed with Mom. I'm not picking on anybody. My kids, when they were little, they slept in bed with us. Me and Crystal laugh sometimes because we had a full-size bed and two kids and the both of us. How we fit, I don't know. But eventually, we kicked them out. And I didn't get kicked out. And she didn't get kicked out. The kids got kicked out. I'm not telling you if you got little babies, I'm not bringing down condemnation. Kick them out. But y'all, I've seen it so many times that your kids become such a priority that you forget to take care of each other. I've seen men do it to women where they're raising their little boys up to be hunters, to be fishers, and to be athletes, and they become so consumed with that little boy or the wives with their little girls or little boys, and they become so consumed with, I love this child so much. And that's great. You should love your children that much. But not before your husband, not before your wife. If you're not careful, it will mess up your home. Your husband and wife need to be the priority. Dave Snyder, who came here 15 years ago probably, he taught a Sunday school class for just a short time. And one of the things that he said, and I was... And it really stuck in my mind because it's one of the few things that I remember that he said. But he said when he comes home from work that they have like a 30-minute rule that the kids are not allowed to come into the kitchen for 30 minutes. And his wife would come into the kitchen and they would talk for 30 minutes before the kids were allowed to interrupt. I thought that was a pretty good rule because what usually happens when you get home, you don't really get to see each other. The kids are running and hugging and hollering and daddy do this and daddy do that. Now, I'm not saying that you should do that. We never did it. And sometimes I miss when I'd open up the door having kids run and hug me and daddy's home. I don't get that no more, you know. But I know what he was saying is that you have to make time for each other. And your kids can't jump ahead of that. Your friends. I know people that their friends are more important to maintain that relationship with their buddies, with their girlfriends, that's more important than a husband or a wife. They'd rather go on a vacation. They'd rather go hang out at the golf course or go out shopping. They'd rather spend time with their girlfriend, with the guy friends than their spouse. Shouldn't be. Is it good to have friends? Yeah. I don't have many, but it's good to have friends. But not at the expense of your spouse. Work. Is your spouse a priority over your work? You know, I hope that you men in here are good providers and take care of your families, and all the men that I'm looking at, you are. I know that. You're hard working. But y'all don't ever let work become your God to the point that it costs you your wife knowing how important they are to you. iPhone widows I have written down here. You know, that's one of the biggest marriage killers I see right now is our phones. I gotta confess something. Crystal's phone, she had an update on it. And it tells you how much time you spend on the phone each day. You know, at the end of the week, it gives you a weekly average. And I was walking by, it was plugged in on the counter, and I seen it, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I was about to give her a hard time, like, I can't believe that. And then she seen it, and about the time she seen it, I looked at my phone, and you know what? And I didn't tell her this, and I didn't give her a hard time. I was only 2 minutes behind her. And I was like, that's ridiculous! I'm sitting there thinking, I don't spend that much time on my phone. How can it show that much time? I was ready to bounce on her. Look at you. I told you you're on your phone too much. And foot in my mouth, I'm 2 minutes behind. Boy, big victory there, huh? I wish Adam and Brooke was here tonight. I don't think they'd care for me sharing the story, but Adam and Brooke, we was talking a couple weeks ago after Sunday night, and he was saying one of the biggest things for him is the phones, and that when they come in the house, they have a little thing, and they put their phones in there and don't get them back out until the kids go to bed, and then they might look at them at the end of the night, but that they wanted to make sure they're spending time together as a family. I think that's pretty good. I think it's a pretty good rule. I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm telling you, be careful. Because when your phone becomes more of a priority, that email, that text message, that whatever, Snapchat, I don't even know what all you guys look at, but when it becomes more of a priority than your spouse, for me it'd be the news. I'm always looking at the news, looking at the weather. Put it down. Sometimes value or priority can produce jealousy when it isn't returned. One spouse tells the others how great they are, but when the words aren't returned, they produce insecurity even to the point where they find it from someone else. Did y'all hear what I just said? I know we're running out of time, but I don't want y'all to miss that. Is if you're not making your spouse a priority, you better be careful, because someone else is there going to try and make them a priority, because that's how Satan works. And if you are hearing this tonight saying, I need to be making my spouse more of a priority, have your guard up, because even if it's not returned at first, don't give up. Keep going, keep going, keep going, and don't let it produce jealousy. Value. You don't know what you have till it's gone. And in every relationship, that can be true. You know, do you take better care and show more concern for others before you do your spouse? I mean, sometimes we treat total strangers better than we do the people that we're supposed to love the most. Sometimes if somebody has something to say at work or a stranger even, you'll give them your full attention. But when your wife's telling you a story about work or telling you something and you're scanning through your phone, yeah, I'm listening, or flipping through the TV, or you're halfway listening. things you value is what you give priority to. I mean, that's the bottom line. If you value something, it's going to get your time. George W. Bush says, I would like to be remembered as a guy who had a set of priorities and was willing to live by those priorities. So let me ask you, do you have a set of priorities and are you willing to live it out? It says, we don't drift in good directions. We discipline and prioritize ourselves there. That was by Andy Stanley. I don't know who that is. I just seen it and I thought it was a good quote. We don't drift in good directions. We discipline and prioritize ourselves there. You know what that says to me? In my marriage, I just can't drift along. I need to set Crystal as a priority and I need to stick to it. If I'm just drifting, I can drift the wrong way. She could be drifting a different direction. Actions express priorities. Gandhi said that. And you know, I've heard Gandhi before, but I didn't even know who Gandhi was, so I had to Google who Gandhi was. You guys can laugh at me if you want, but I like that though. Action expresses priorities. How you live is a true expression of what is prioritized in your life. I'm going to end with this. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We truly want to have a successful marriage. We truly want to be successful parents. We truly want to have a successful walk with our Lord and Savior. We need to seek Him first. He needs to be our number one priority. And then all these other things will be added unto you. Your life will be so much better if God comes first. Then your spouse. Then your kids. Then your church. Then your work or whatever else. I didn't make a top 10. You guys can line it up. But number one has to be God. Number two has to be your spouse. Number three, your kids. Extended family from there, or however you want to do it. It's not just talking the talk, it's walking the walk. It's not just saying how much I love you, how much I care for you, and then never living it. It's proving it by your actions. It's proving it. And can I tell you something? When you quit prioritizing something, it loses value quickly. You know, you take a new car, and what happens? Man, you keep that thing clean. You fill out all the trash. You polish it. You wash it. You shine it. You have it a few weeks for some of you, a few months for others. And what happens? A drink gets spilled in the back seat. French fries fall on the floor. And they don't get picked up right away. And there's a little bit of mud on it. And before long, your new car looks like your old car. And then you don't really care. And then you're still making payments for years, right? But what happened? That car lost its priority and it lost its value all at once. And then you don't care if the kids get in with muddy cleats or you know, they spilt something in the back seat. Then all at once you don't care. It's no longer a priority. And y'all, that can happen in our relationships. I've seen marriages break down because all at once someone has lost the value of the person that they're married to. If you feel like you're going there, maybe stop and begin to write down how much you love the person and what they've done for you and what they've meant to you. And maybe write down the things that they've done for you and the things that you did at first. Satan loves to destroy. And one of the things that he loves to destroy more than anything is marriages and homes. If we will abide by the Word of God, if we make God first in our life and make each other a priority, we will have victory. Y'all got anything before we quit tonight?